Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Let's go on an adventure. Let's go on it together. Let's go on an adventure. Bop, bop, ba, shoo, bop, 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 yeah. Let's go on it together. I did it, did it, did it.
Hey guys, this is your pal, your friend, your comrade, Chris, and I am joined here by the wonderfully talented Nikki Cross. Hey, Nikki, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Christopher?
Oh, I'm doing just ducky. It's, you know, for those that don't know what's been happening, I got to celebrate my birthday. And so I took a little bit of time off, which, you know, and then we had a couple other you know, guests had to reschedule, which is fine. But I want to say that this has been like the longest break we've taken in
since
recording.
Christmas.
Yeah. And
at least Christmas was planned.
Right. Right. I know I think we kind of went into hibernation, although you got to go out and check out some cool shows over those weekends. Huh?
I did. Yeah. I got to see our friends at Point the Finger.
I love them.
Yeah. I got to see friend of the show, Mike Martin.
We love him.
Uh-huh. I got to see a future guest of ours.
Ooh.
Do we keep it a surprise?
Oh. To find out who, you have to watch.
Oh, fuck off. Who else did I see?
That was it.
See what I did there?
See what you did there? I saw what you did there.
There you go. Spoiler teaser alert.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know when it's coming.
You don't.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, because you asked, my birthday was awesome.
Oh, yeah, Christopher. Oh, God, I'm a jerk.
No, it's okay.
How was your birthday, man?
No, it's fine. You know, it was great. It was awesome. It was, we went to good old fashioned Bean Town, Boston, and checked out, you know, the North End, which is kind of strange because, you know, half of my heritage is Italian. So you would have thought I would have, you know, and I live like 50 miles west of Boston. You would have thought that this kid's probably, you know, visits North End once a week, but never been.
No, it's a pain in the ass to get there.
Oh, it really is.
Nobody wants to go there once a week unless you have to.
Yeah.
Or you have a special occasion.
Oh, it's true. The parking is atrocious.
Like, and there's like cow paths for roads.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I parked at the garage across from the Newsberry Comic Street, or Newsberry Street, whatever.
What?
There's like a giant Newsberry comic store.
What are you calling it?
Newsberry.
That's not right.
Newsberry.
It's just Newberry.
Newsberry. That's news to me. Newberry, yeah.
Newberry Comics.
So, Newberry Comic Street.
to be fair, Newberry Street is nowhere near the North End, but...
No, it's not. Well, okay. So, the way I planned the parking was like, all right, I'm gonna pick this garage that's in between the Hanover Street and the Quincy Market. It was like perfectly smack mm-hmm. dab in the middle of all that.
Well, that checks out. Yeah.
So, and that way there, we could, you know, after our nice fancy Italian meal, we could swing down back down to the Quincy Market and shake hands with Marty Wahlberg and
who?
Marty. I call him Marty.
Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg.
You were killing it, man. But let's further enlighten people with their Boston knowledge here with Newsberry and Marty. Carry on. You're killing it.
Full sarcasm achieved. So yeah, you know what was really good though. We went to this restaurant, Burricos, right down there on Hanover Street. And
what's it called?
Burricos. 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 It's a brick house. It actually is a brick house, brick building.
Okay.
She doesn't believe me. I could be butchering it. But it was great.
It sounded very Spanish.
Rico. Yeah. It was because, you know, Italians roll their R's too. You know, whatever.
And you didn't do the hand thing when.
It's a spicy meatball.
What's it called again?
Brico.
It's better.
Okay.
It's a little more authentic.
Full in stereotype.
It's a little more authentic.
Yeah. It was good. It was really good. We went to Mike's Pastry. Oh my god, Mike's Pastry. Have you heard of Mike's Pastry?
I'm sorry.
Camera's right on you. Mike's
Pastry. Is that a real question?
Right. Seriously. Guys, if you're not from here and you haven't been to Mike's Pastry.
It's the biggest tourist destination, just what, a little north of Quincy Market and Faneuil Hall.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually a line out the door. It's cash only.
Yeah.
And every tourist, I'm surprised they don't have a location at the airport.
It's because it's illegal. No one would stay skinny enough to fit in the seats of the airplane. Yeah, I got a cannoli, peanut butter cannoli, drizzled chocolate. To die for. And I'm on this weight loss journey, but not when you're at Mike's Pastry. I'm sorry.
It's a cheat day.
It's a cheat day.
It's your birthday. You're allowed to cheat on your birthday.
It was, and it was a very nice birthday. But to my surprise, birthday has passed, which is surprising.
like they typically do.
Yeah, they typically do. And we got back into the studio ready to record our next guest's performance. And I was shocked. No, I was actually really very surprised to see, not surprised, I guess. I was very taken back to see a gift on the table. And, you know, first off, there was a t-shirt. And I wasn't sure, you know, what to expect. But I couldn't have planned it, or not planned it, but like, expected anything more perfect than this. Like, check this out.
It's
there we go.
Okay. The Electric Mayhem.
The Electric Mayhem. Like, how awesome is that?
You can kind of, no, you gotta move it over, Scoach. No, the other way. The other way. Maybe back up just a smidge.
And then,
back yourself up just a smidge.
Wait.
Here it is. Bah, 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 bah.
Oh, I'm going that way. There we go.
Yeah. So it's the Mayhem, but it's like Beatles style.
Peter.
For, you know, the audio listeners at home, picture.
I'm sorry. As I was moving this, wait, let's see if I can do it. I have to go this way. Do I have to go this way?
Yeah. Nope, you had it. Yep. So picture the Beatles walking down at, was it Abbey Road?
Abbey Road.
Yeah. But it's the Electric Mayhem, the old Muppets with, you know, animal. Yeah.
And then the piece of resistance is my new mug. Check it out. I am great Cornelio. Like, how amazing is that? That is awesome. This is like my prized treasure. Thank you, Nikki.
I think I nailed the birthday gifts.
Yes. Thank you. So now I'm, you know, going on to 24 for the second time. So
24 forever.
So thank you. Appreciate
you. You're welcome.
You.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, you got it. So guys, we have an excellent episode planned for you today. And it's, you know, you and I were talking about this earlier. We need to get more female artists on this show. We've had some incredible female artists already. But, you know, whenever we can add on to that list, it's good. Because this musician, like, she brings the emotion and the storytelling what an awesome guest. Don't you agree?
No, she was amazing and just such a sweetheart.
Yeah, absolutely. Just absolutely fantastic. You know, I was really impressed with the, you know, length of how long she's been playing the music versus where she is professionally with her vocals and her songwriting and all that. Like, guys, you're in for a treat. So without further ado, Nikki, why don't you go ahead and introduce our next guest?
Today, we're joined by Ryan Whitaker, a Worcester-based singer-songwriter whose music fuses the timelessness appeal of traditional pop with the raw emotion of alternative indie. Drawing from the introspective storytelling of folk and the occasional experimental edge of art rock, Ryan crafts songs that are intimate, melancholic, and deeply human. Through lyrics that explore love, loss, and the journey of overcoming addiction, Ryan creates an emotional space where listeners can find connection and reflection. As a single mother, full-time worker, and student, Ryan brings a depth of resilience and authenticity to her artistry. While she hasn't released any music yet, you can catch her with live performances at local open mics and gigs around Worcester, including a monthly open mic she hosts on the first Friday of every month. Welcome to our studio.
Ooh. Hey.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Like, and I know I did hear that you don't have any recorded media yet, but you will after this show.
I'm very excited to have some things recorded.
So thank you. We're excited. Thank you for coming down. And let me tell you, I have heard your music and it's just absolutely incredible. I can't wait to, explore some songs. But let's go ahead. I want to ask some questions. I have like maybe one or two questions, right?
Yeah.
Just a couple. But let's start off in the beginning. How did your relationship with music first hatch?
Yeah, so I lived in a duplex my whole life, and our neighbors were in a Grateful Dead cover band.
Ooh,
and fun.
So as early as 5 years old, I remember kind of going over there and listening and dancing to some music. And one of my neighbors actually took one of my favorite poem books, which is Shel Silverstein, and he would take them and turn them into songs for me. So that was my real first experience, with the music world. And then I continued to just have relationships with other people and other musicians, local musicians, cover bands. And I didn't start playing until about 6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. I took probably a few lessons as a teenager and then never went back to it. So I've been playing and writing for about 6 years now.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I think too, songwriting is probably, in my mind at least, I don't know if it's the case for everybody else out there, but songwriting is so challenging sometimes. I mean, it's hard to, you can speak from a personal space, but to actually have it sound good, it's challenging. Mm-hmm. And you've accomplished that. I feel like you've accomplished that task so well you have a great lyrics and
thank you.
So was writing always a strong suit for you, or was that like something that you had to work on and develop?
I would say that it's been a strong suit of mine since I started writing music.
Okay.
I don't have much of a history before that of writing, maybe a handful of poems here and there. But I've definitely I've had some really incredible people in my life from the beginning of my music writing journey who gave me little tips and tricks. And I'm a fast learner in almost anything that I do. And I just, absorbed whatever I could. And now, I feel pretty confident in my songwriting ability. A lot of it is really like letting, and this might sound obscure, but you've probably also heard other musicians say this, is like letting the universe, like, have it come through you.
Yes.
You got to get it out of your own way. Oh, yeah. And you can go back and edit if you're like, maybe I don't like this phrasing. But typically when something comes out very genuinely raw through whatever source that is, when you're not overthinking it, it's some of the best content. So.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I know I've started dabbling in songwriting and I've experienced that where I'll come up with these lyrics that are just like really awesome. I'm like, I don't know where they came from.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's absolutely incredible. But that's really cool. That's and it's even what's even cooler is that you've been able to really kind of craft this musical side of you in such a later part of your life. Which is great, a great inspiration for others who...
It's inspirational for me. Yeah. I'm just getting going playing guitar, so...
Right.
Yeah. No, it's... I honestly would have thought you were playing a lot longer than 6 years.
Yeah, me too.
No, I mean, your voice is absolutely beautiful. Did you ever at least sing before that at all, or...?
No formal or informal singing experience.
Okay.
I would have considered myself a bad singer before I started... and if you listen to some of my first recordings, you can tell that there's been a significant improvement in my tone, my tonality, and my range. And I'm always a big hype girl. I'm a big hype girl for anything, for anyone. Like, if you want to talk about what makes you passionate, I will talk about whatever that is.
Yeah.
And it almost, I think sometimes it sounds ingenuine, because I'm just like, oh my God, yes, I love this thing that you're so excited about. And I genuinely mean it from like the bottom of my heart that I'm like, and I feel the same way about anybody that's writing at whatever stage of their musicianship, whether it's new or not, but especially if it's new, it's like, you know what? I started in my late 20s writing and singing and you can do it too. I truly believe anybody can sing. I think there's the very, very small, tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of people who consider themselves tone deaf. Even if you consider yourself tone deaf, you probably aren't. You just have to kind of learn to hear it a little bit. And so I'm so glad to be an inspiration for your writing. And I think just keep doing it and you'll be amazed, to look back 5 years from now and see how much of a difference in your singing and your writing.
That's so amazing. It really goes to show too, when you really focus in on something, a passion of yours, and then you really practice it. And, over the course of time, you really do just fine tune it. Nikki and I are bound to get our song Clocks covered there.
One of these days.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So you're new in this journey, really. I mean, for 6 years, not necessarily that new, but have you, how has exploring the gigs been like? Like, how did you come across your first your gig? How was that?
So can I backtrack a little bit?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Share a little bit about like how I started playing music in the first place and then how it got me to like
gigging. Yeah, of course.
So... essentially, so I'm in recovery. I'm about 6.5 years sober. And the reason that I started writing and playing was getting sober. So I actually went to rehab and it was a bougie rehab, I'm not going to lie. And there's a gentleman there who just handed me a guitar. And that place in particular was really good about understanding that like being in recovery is about just like falling in love with life again. So they were trying to provide all these different avenues for people. There was like painting and they did a sweat lodge. It was really cool.
Different creative outlets and stuff.
Yeah.
And up until that point, I had really struggled with some mental health and like some really traumatic experiences in my life that put me into that place of like using substances to like numb. I've always been like a really emotional person and I struggled to kind of cope with that in the world. And I went into rehab really hopeless and... Yeah, just genuinely broken. And when I was handed a guitar, something like lit up in me again.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah, thanks.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's music is such an awesome outlet for, you know, a lot of things. You know, we experience, I'm one of those people too. I'm a person that feels his feelings, very strongly. and so, you know, a lot of the times you can either sit in your sadness or you can channel it, listen to music. Music has been a huge, huge just factor into, you know, me dealing with those emotions and processing them. And so, I mean, thank God we have music.
I know.
Right?
It's amazing. It saved my life, truly. And yeah, to kind of fast forward to what did it look like getting into gigs, I was about three and a half years into writing and playing, and I did it privately for myself. It was just like a coping skill and an experience for me. And there was a gentleman I met also in recovery, and he found out that I was a musician, and he was like, oh my God, you should come, you know, bring your guitar to play for me. And I met him at a meeting, and I brought my guitar to a parking lot, and he was like, oh my God, you really did that. I was like, I thought you were being serious. Like, yeah, of course I did. I'd love to share my music with you. And I played him a song in the parking lot, and a beautiful relationship began. He is a very seasoned musician. He's been playing his whole life. He's incredible. Aww. And he invited me to an open mic, and he was like, you really have to get out there and share your music. And and I did. I went to an open mic. My first open mic was Slater's in Bolton.
Okay.
I will put a plug in for them, because seriously, it's such an incredible experience. If you've never been, you have to go. It's every Thursday.
Ooh.
Yeah, and the host is very welcoming, especially to new musicians. It's such a great place to try out a new song.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, and the sound is incredible as well. So
maybe that's where we go debut clocks.
Yes.
yes.
Let me know. Yeah. I'd love to be there.
It's like a good halfway point between us, too.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Bolton's not too far for me.
I know the orchard.
Yeah. They're, when they're able to play outside is incredible, because there's a big open area, and it's beautiful.
Oh, nice.
So let me know. I'll come meet you there.
Yeah.
So you guys play clocks.
Yeah.
So then after that, I was doing open mics, and my first gig, I was invited at at Birch Tree.
Okay.
And I discovered really quickly how difficult it is to play for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And so the open mic at Birch Tree was birthed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so, now that's like your baby.
Yeah. I did a gig, and then I got invited to do another gig when another musician had like bailed out last minute. They knew. They were like, oh, Ryan, can you come? You know, I've become a regular there at this point. And I was like, you know, I would love to be able to give the same experience that, you know, Slater's gave to me to other musicians as well in a different area. And then also, I love people, and so hosting has been so much fun.
Yes,
I run around like a crazy person and talk to everyone.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, I will not be caught sitting in the same place for longer than 2 minutes. And then after that, gigs have just been like, when I meet someone out playing and they offer, you know, like I haven't gone out of my way necessarily, which I know is a different experience for a lot of other people. I do it as a very like passive hobby. I would love to pursue music full time at some point in my life if that becomes a reality.
Yeah.
But I also have a career that I love. So it's more of like a little side gig, kind of little piece of heaven for me.
Exactly. I totally get that. The that's what this podcast is. It's a slice of our heaven.
Yeah.
You know.
I love that.
Let's get into some music. You guys have a song for us?
I do. I chose a few songs that kind of go together in a story.
Beautiful.
I like that.
It's a story of my life.
Okay.
I always write about what I'm going through. And so this first one is called Floating. I'll tell you a little bit more about those songs after I play it for you.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was an ordinary day. Little did I know my life would change. Tongue-tied and synchronized. Don't tell me otherwise. Swimming with the flow of time. Getting lost in the palm lines. Love is born of laughter and rage. And I'll find the courage soon when the whispers of the moon remind me of my own ways. Floating on by like a bird in the sky. I am ready to fly. I am floating, floating right into your arms. I promise me you mean me no harm. I am ready to fly. I am floating. Take me back to the very start. Show me how to hold your heart. Deep breaths and harmonize. Don't overanalyze. Swimming with the ocean tides. Getting lost in those brown eyes. Love is born of wisdom and age. And I'll find the courage soon when the whispers of the moon remind me of my own ways. Floating took me by surprise. Rose-colored hypnotized. I am ready to fly. I am floating, floating right into my arms. I promise you, I mean you no harm. Are you ready to be floating with me?
Oh, wow.
Thank you. Your voice is beautiful.
Thanks. It really is. It really is. And I was floating at that.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm like picturing the music video. I'm just these couple just floating off into a pillowy, cloudy sky, you know?
Yeah.
That's exactly how I envision it too. I'm so glad.
That's cool.
See, that or I'm envisioning like, I don't know, picture like Alice in Wonderland when she's like floating down and like the dress is like poofing and floating. And I love that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Wow. Nikki, do you have any questions?
Yeah. What are some of your biggest musical influences?
Sure. Gosh, I feel like I'm influenced by every musician and musical experience. But I would say that what artists sit nearest and dearest to my heart and what I enjoy the most would be like Fleetwood Mac, the Beatles, Pink Floyd, even though I wouldn't qualify myself in that particular genre.
Mm-hmm. Still an inspiration.
It's a huge inspiration for me. And also I would say some current artists that I really love, Andrew Bird, Fiona Apple.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really love musicians who write things a little more obscurely, too. So, like, there's definitely a basic quote-unquote song structure, right? Okay. So you've got, like, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, closer. I really find it interesting when people break the mold and they'll just do like a song with no chorus or
Yep.
And if you can pull that off, it's mm-hmm. wicked cool. So yeah.
I hear a lot of like Billie Eilish in your voice.
Oh wow, I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Huh. Yeah. I definitely why can't I think of the name of the song right now?
It definitely
there's tones in your voice that really I don't know. I picture Billie Eilish.
Definitely the, you know, Billie's newer stuff too, because she's kind of like melody. I mean, she was always had that soft voice, but. Like,
right.
I kind of love that. I've never heard that compliment before, but Billie Eilish is incredible. So yeah. I would take it.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, she just has like that very dynamic range. And I noticed that with your voice as well, how, you know, you went from really soft to, you know, then you started belting out and like that control. So, yeah.
But that's that muscle that you talked about off camera about training.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's really
it's what,
an instrument.
It's mm-hmm. what, like training that muscle, but also breathing, just working on your breathing.
There's been plenty of times where I've just forgotten how to breathe.
Yeah. Good night.
No, but yeah, it's you know, it definitely shows how much dedication you've given to your vocal range, and beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
I think my thing is don't be afraid to try a song that's way out of your range. I have a singing playlist that I play in my car, and I probably wouldn't nail every single note if you threw me up on a karaoke stage.
Yeah.
But I have noticed that over time, I can hit a little bit more of those notes. And I think there's probably more technical musicians out there that know a lot about music theory that would tell you a different way of like exercising your voice, like with a piano from this whatever octave to that octave.
Right.
I haven't done that. I think that would be probably a really great avenue for me to explore at some point. But yeah, even just having a Spotify playlist.
I have an app on my phone called Simply Sing that actually it gives you like vocal coaching and
that's cool.
I'll do that in the car all the time.
Really? What's it called? We're plugging you guys.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Simply Sing. So Simply at first, it'll tell you to like shout like, hey, 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 like three times at the top of your lungs. And then like do like your lowest hum. And then like it'll literally say like scream at the top of your lungs like somebody's scaring you. And it like factors in. Yeah, it'll actually determine like what your vocal range is. And then from there, start dropping in like songs and artists that would be like around your range, and then there's whole vocal.
That's amazing.
That sounds cool.
I love that.
Jeez.
It's a really great app. Sponsor us.
my song of my artist of choice to try to sing to is Chris Cornell, because he had a insane
incredible
range. Like I'll never hit that. We both may have the same first name, Chris, but it's that's where it ends.
The talent is unmatched.
yeah exactly. But that's cool. So next question. Mm-hmm. So would you speaking of training and teaching yourself, do you have any advice to those that are just starting out with music?
Yeah. Don't be afraid to not hit a note. Don't be afraid to be, I don't really like the word bad, but like quote unquote bad, right? So at least in terms of like songwriting, I've realized you have to keep things kind of flowing. And if you get stuck and you're like, I really don't like this song that I'm working on, just keep pushing it out, because in order to get to like the good stuff, you have to get the crap out. Then also like some of my songs that I would consider like quote unquote crap songs, or I enjoy them. I'd probably never play them out. And there have been times where I have played them out every once in a while and somebody's like, wow, I really love that song. So don't underestimate that. If you don't like the song, the other people might really enjoy it. I would say when I'm having like writer's block, one exercise I've learned that I haven't used a lot, but I was able to write like three songs just based on this one exercise, which is like a creative writing exercise. So even if you don't write music, it can work for any of those kinds of writing styles.
Okay.
Would do like set a timer for 2 minutes and just free write. So anything that comes to mind, you don't stop moving your pen no matter what. And just let stream of conscious come out onto paper.
So it could literally be word vomit, like puppies and pink clouds and pizza and like just random and
Yes, I wrote some weird stuff down for sure. I was like, how did I even get here?
Yeah.
Like something about Greek mythologies at one point. I was like, what the?
So what do you do with it after the 2 minutes is up?
Then you look at it and see if you can draw inspiration from that. I actually was able to write almost an entire poem straight through. I was very surprised.
Wow.
But I think part of it is like you're not boxing yourself in. You're not overthinking it at all.
Yeah.
It's that channel. It's like finding that channel. For me, I like that's a piece of advice for songwriting. I do find that sometimes I naturally have some stuff that just comes out in a way that can go into a song.
Sure.
But I've heard that this has also worked for other musicians too. So
it's really interesting too. Cause I had a professor back in college, when he was teaching us drawing, and, I've always been a good drawer, but certain things I couldn't do. It was another similar exercise. It was a timed exercise. He had like, maybe 30 seconds, 60 seconds, whatever, and your pencil could not leave the paper.
Mm.
And they'd have like a subject, like one of the students, like, all right, make a pose, and then like, click, go. And you're just scribbling. You can't obviously take the pencil off the paper. And in the end, I'm just looking at it, I'm like, this is the most incredible, like, portrait I've ever done, and I didn't think I could ever do that. So there's a lot of truth to just kind of putting yourself under that pressure just to,
and then think about it too, once you have a timer involved too, where you're like, can't think, must draw, like, because now you feel that pressure of like you're up against the clock.
Exactly. And it forces like that creativity to come through.
I would say another piece of advice would be that if you have something written previously, I think for me, there's two different ways for me to write a song, is whether I write a melody and a chord progression first and then I add lyrics afterwards. Traditionally, I usually have lyrics first and then I'm trying to find a way to fit it into the melody I want.
Oh, okay.
Don't be afraid to adjust your lines. I think sometimes we get really attached, like, this is a poem I wrote. This is exactly my lines, for the most part, are very intentional. And so I, have gotten caught up like, this line needs to be exactly like this. And it's like, let's just like respect the fact that like whatever you wrote as a poem can be a poem and like exist as that. And you can dismantle it and turn it into a song that works for a melody flow. That being said, also be mindful of like, what are the pieces that you won't let go of that's like sacrificing the integrity of the song? So you have to find that fine line between like, this line really meant a lot to me and I need it to be this way, but are you okay with readjusting the framing around the rest of it? Right. So, be open-minded with your own writing.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. You think that you have to like fit in a mold and this is the method. But it's
at the end of the day, it's still art.
It's still art.
And art really has no rules.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Nikki, you have another question?
Do you have a dream venue anywhere in the world if you could perform at? Huh. Where would it be?
Ooh.
Definitely Red Rocks.
That is a crowd favorite. That is definitely a crowd favorite.
I think I'd also be like super excited to play at MGM in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of shows there and I think their sound is really beautiful.
I haven't been there yet.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. There are some venues where when you're standing in certain areas, you can't really hear well. And I felt like, at least from my experience, no matter where I was standing, everything sounded amazing. So I feel like that'd be such a good place to,
well balanced.
Yes.
I could do a whole show on this. seriously, like the sound, the investment in the sound production at venues goes such a long way. And if you go to like a open mic or whatever and you see like one of those, little preamps, no name, like, oh, okay, well, it takes away from the whole atmosphere. But if you go to these other places that have like the full, you know, sound, acoustic, balanced out, like it's just adds to that venue and the experience.
Sure.
You know, I went to, shout out to the Jewel, up in Manchester. But I swear, the stage is made up of subwoofers.
Yeah.
Like, and you feel the music. It goes through you.
Right.
You know, so it can make and break a venue.
I
mean,
I went to a brewery last night, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I honestly couldn't wait to leave. And I never thought I'd say that. The music was so overpowering.
Oh,
and because it's just so wide open. And the farthest, I think about it, the farthest wall for it to actually hit and bounce back was like way, way, way far back. So like you couldn't even hear yourself think. Like you couldn't have a conversation with the people that you were with. Like it was just insanely loud. And I mean, the band sounded great, but it was just not acoustically meant, I don't think, for...
Well, you know what is acoustically meant?
Meant to be. nice segue, Christopher. Yeah,
right? I'm getting smooth.
something like that.
smooth as a pineapple.
Chunky peanut butter.
Yeah, right. So let's go ahead and get into another song.
Sure.
You said we have a second song as part of that story.
Yes. So the next song I'm going to play is Circles. And so what we're kind of experiencing together is a progression of a relationship. Obviously floating gives you the feeling of floating and that like sense of a relationship budding.
Yeah.
And I'm very honest and vulnerable about my experience with relationships and just, you know, my life in general, because I think it's important. Like all of us are going through things that are hard and I don't think it's talked about as much. And so, you know, I had a lot of inspiration through one of my relationships and it turned into a lot of songs that I really enjoy. And so the first one was Floating and then Circles. This is going to be a very dramatic change in the relationship. So let's go there together. we'll see.
I love how you're like taking us on a journey.
I know.
Yes, join me on the journey.
I know. We never had a guest do that before.
Yes.
This is awesome.
The chords I use are a little wonky. So if they sound a little wonky... Well, I'll just roll with it.
That's right.
It's art. Remember, there's no rules.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes things don't turn out right. How we might like. You say you love me and you were ready to fight. How I thought you might, but you sacrifice it all to be with me. Would you burn it all down for one more goodbye? Would you whistle me a song and tell me? Would you whistle me? you.
Wow. Thanks. And everything will be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything will be okay.
Oh, that's awesome. I really enjoy the journey that you take and take us on, and it's definitely between that song and the previous song, that's a journey.
Mm.
Wow. I also want to, I don't know if you can get it on the camera, but I also want to just kind of mention how beautiful the guitar is that you have.
Yes.
Like, that is, I love, it's like my daughter's favorite color on the sides there.
Yeah. I love the frets, the birds.
I know.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I agree.
What kind of guitar is that?
This is a Paul Reed Smith acoustic electric.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
You're welcome to play it after. A lot of people say it's got really good action.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
It does play nice. So.
Oh. Well, that's very nice. And we'll be right back after these brief messages.
In 2025, be on the lookout for Derek D. Acoustic's upcoming album, Ashes to Acoustics, The Sonic Revival. Throughout the year, Derek will be releasing several singles, leading up to the full album release, which will include a few extra tunes just for you. Ashes to Acoustics features live acoustic covers performed at open mics at the Otter River Pub, recorded by Soundbites, Events, and Open Mics. You'll find them on all streaming platforms, so make sure you follow Derek at Derek D. Acoustic to stay updated on these releases. Enjoy Ashes to Acoustics, The Sonic Revival in 2025 and beyond.
And now back to our show. Yeah, like the one time I played a guitar, it was like that one time that I drove a Jeep Standard for the first time. Yeah. I peeled out in reverse. I don't know how.
Yeah, let's not stall the guitar, please.
Right? Yes, exactly. But that's been one of my dream instruments to learn is because my family from Puerto Rico, they all play the acoustic guitar, Spanish guitar. And so I'm like the white non-Spanish speaking Puerto Rican that just cannot play any guitar.
I mean,
oh yeah, get that on the camera. You have to switch the camera though.
This.
So that was made by my Uncle Moses. It's a four-string guitar. They call them cuatros, but he made it like, you know, infant size. Yeah, it's a little out of tune. At one point, that guitar was tuned by Tim LaRoche. And now it's kind of fallen dismay. But
I really love, and I would love to own a classical Spanish guitar.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I think they're really beautiful.
They are. Yeah. They are. My Uncle Moses wouldn't build them. And that's was what he did for a living, which is make these guitars and sell them. And he sold so many. I was saving up money to you know, pay him to just for the material, but to build me a guitar. And he passed away.
Oh,
yeah, so I never got a chance.
That's a heavy little thing. Like, what is that made out of? Do you even know like what type of wood? Because it's got some weight to it.
It's made from the Tree of Life. that's a good question. I didn't get an opportunity.
It's heavier than it looks.
Yeah, I mean, it could be maple or maybe oak. Oak's pretty heavy.
She's solid.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's I have a little infinity of for guitars because it's just, you know. But you've done really well with your handling of the guitar. I know you said that you feel that it's not necessarily your strongest suit, but
it's not. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's more so that I know I have more ability in me and I don't take the time to fine tune my guitar playing.
Yeah.
I think the pausing that I intentionally do, or, you know, the change in rhythm that I intentionally do, is more of like a feeling rather than a technicality. And every time, so what usually happens is I'll go to learn a new song.
Yeah.
For example, A Needle in the Damage Done by Led Zeppelin was something that was recommended to me to learn a little bit of different kind of finger picking style.
Yeah.
And every time I go to learn either that song or any song that is outside of my scope of ability, I start to get an idea about a new original song, and I never completely finish whatever song I was trying to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I never learned that technique. And it's like, gosh, if I could just commit and ignore my brain when I'm like, wow, actually, that would be a really cool thing.
Yeah.
Or this is a note that I forgot that I really love. Like D minor is a chord that I absolutely loved when I first started writing, and I don't really use it anymore. And so then I'll learn a song and it's got a D minor, and I'm like, oh, yeah. It's a pretty sound.
Yeah.
I just got a message from Jukebox Jake, who wanted me to relay that you are fucking awesome.
Oh my god. Thanks, Jake. Little shout out. Yeah. He's amazing.
Jukebox. Jake is awesome. Jukebox Jake. We love you.
We love you, Jake.
We love you.
He's a good friend of the show.
Yes, he is. So, can you see? Let's not go there. I'm still getting used to these questions. We've since added on.
Mm. Yeah, there's a little more scrolling involved now.
I know. I'm like, okay, I should probably just, you know, take some old ones off.
No, you leave those there. I came up with those myself. You leave those there.
I know. They're sentimental. Here's a good one. I like this one. Because you have now, you have a career. You are a proud mother, and you're a musician, and so how do you find balance for your music career with your personal life and everything else that you have going on?
I have an incredible ability to burn 7 candles on both ends all at once.
Oh, I thought I was the only one here.
No, it's really kind of abnormal, honestly. I have a lot of energy. I just have a natural amount of energy. And so I guess what the balance looks like is I don't actually get to invest in music as much as I would like to. And I think what happens sometimes when I don't take the time to reinvest and sit down and write is when I go through a very emotional experience, that's when it will kind of happen.
Yeah.
So if I get really upset about something that I'm going through, in that moment I'll write, and sometimes I'll write a song in 24 hours. I channel it, spit it out, and then don't go back to writing for like a while. And I think it's like the universe's way of like forcing content out of me sometimes. Or just helping me process like whatever I'm going through. And so, I don't spend a lot of time writing music. And actually, it's been really great to host an open mic because I've been able to connect with more people. Jake actually in particular, has connected a lot of the music community together. And that's been really helpful for me that like, so for example, like, you know, I got invited to the gig at Huskies. And I don't think I would have if I hadn't met these people. And so, because I don't have as much time to invest in music, being able to cross over them in that world when I am around, you know, I don't have to chase down a gig if I want to do it. I have all of these like resources at my fingertips if I want to kind of get out there and play. And
that's cool.
You're in the right area too. Like Worcester.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, between like George Ramirez, Tasteless Jack. I don't know if you know him.
He's the one that got me the gig.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So, like, you have George, you have Morgan, you know, you have.
Incredible.
Yes.
Gosh.
Yeah. You have so many people within your city. Yeah. Like, you are in the right spot for this.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. I know. And in Worcester, you know, it's for those that aren't familiar with the Massachusetts area, Worcester is probably the second, it might actually be the second biggest city in Massachusetts next to Boston. And it's smack dab in the middle, slightly down to our south of Massachusetts. And it's just an incredible hot spot for musicians.
Seriously.
Like, yeah, like a lot of great venues.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of concentration of just great talent right there.
There really is.
Kelly Square.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which used to be a death trap if you were trying to go around the Rotary.
It's still kind of a death trap. It's really nice because, like, you can walk, by the way, if there's ever like a show at Hotel Vernon on a Friday night after my open mic, you can go to my open mic, which ends early, and then walk across the street to Hotel Vernon or Electric Haze. So it's very accessible in Worcester, and there are a lot of incredible musicians that are very supportive.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Super supportive.
Yes.
And that's another thing I wanted to point out, too, is that, like, I've said this before on the show, is it's so amazing, like we're spoiled. I'm just gonna say it right now. We're spoiled. Because, you know, when we started this, we just assumed that everywhere you go, the music community is just like this. Like they're so supportive.
No.
Yeah.
And a lot of places are really gatekeepy.
Yeah. Mm. And that's what I love about, you know, our musicians is that they all are such a huge supporters of each other. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a family.
Yeah.
You know, which I think it's important because it's also helped create these awesome, you know, open mics and events, musical events that I think don't exist in other places, mm-hmm. you know, so.
This is also why I'm such a hype girl of other people is that also, especially if you're writing original music, I know it comes from a very vulnerable place for me. And so for someone to gatekeep the experience of just sharing your experience is an insanity to me. It's like, hey, mm-hmm. I think you're kind of missing the point here of music and like musicship and like friendship and love and all these things.
Yeah.
And so yeah, we've been very fortunate. Everybody's very welcoming and helps each other out a lot. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, definitely. And you said also you have a child, your mama.
Mm-hmm.
Is your kid getting into music at all?
Oh.
Yeah, so her father is also a musician. Him and I are not together, but she's exposed to music wherever she is.
I love that.
Yes. Yeah. He has a drum set, and I recently got videos of her on the drum set, and writing a song on the drums. Mind you, she's 3 and a half.
So
when I said, you know, he like showed her an example of how to do it, and then he was like, she was like, let me try, and then did a little drum and like made up a song. I was like, oh my goodness, like my kid's amazing. So,
You know, what are the odds that you would even mention that? Because my phone today mm-hmm. reminded me of a memory, and it's a picture of my daughter when she was around the same age, and her and I are playing the piano. I'm teaching her how to play the piano, and for everybody, I'll put that on the screen. But yeah, just
so
like
cute.
Yeah,
just hold up to your camera right there. I could see it.
I can.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's my.
Oh my goodness! Look at the little backwards Boston.
So
I
know. Cute.
I know.
Oh,
she's,
love you, Abby.
Love you, Abby. And she was just like, you know, wanting to. She heard me playing, and she's like, "Papa, I'm gonna play with you." You know, that's cool.
It's a beautiful memory.
Yeah, those, I'm telling you, when your children, get into it and with you, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And I try not to put any pressure on it because I've heard stories from people that are my age that have grown up with like, you're going to do this with music and that. And I feel like it takes away from maybe their natural experience to get, you know, involved.
Or the parents that just automatically enroll them into piano lessons and they're like, nope, that's just what you're doing.
Fear. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, it's my biggest fear with my kid is that if she decides she doesn't want to do music, that's okay. But it sounds like she's naturally also, you know, attracted to playing music. And I let her play with my ukulele. I'm very careful with my guitar though. Like sometimes she'll smash the ukulele and I'm like, it's fine, we can replace that.
But not the big guitar. You know, we've had so many musicians come through here that have said, you know, when we talk about, okay, what are your musical influences? They always mention, like a lot of them have always gone to parents, you know, who are also musicians. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of them have been like, well, my dad, you know, he's a classically trained, you know, guitarist.
And he was a hard ass on me, you know, because how he was trained. And then you have other people that are like, I just always heard it. Parents would have friends over and they would just jam out. And then I just wanted to jam out too. And that's, So we've heard both kind of sides of the spectrum of that.
Well, that's amazing. Well, you know what?
I think it's time for the next step of this journey.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, look at you and your segue. Oh, I love it. I love it.
The next song is called Convenient. And what's really interesting about comparatively to the previous song, it's still from the same exact kind of story set, right? And I use very similar chords. But it's interesting to be able to see how differently you can use the same set of chords. So I always really liked that about. I actually intentionally did that with this song, was want to kind of build a bridge off of Circles. And they were written a year apart. So this is actually one of my newest songs. And again, it's called Convenient.
Hi again. It's so funny to see you here. Don't wanna try again. I guess I'll listen to the fear. Don't make me ask you why.
Oh, I love that. That was so Convenient.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. No, that was great. That was great.
Thank you.
I like I said, I'm a fan of your songwriting. Like it's really captivating, and it definitely tells a story. And
thank
it's
you.
Yeah, yeah. And all right, so let's get into another question. We are getting close to the end.
Okay.
But we'll do a few more questions and then another song. You know, one thing I do want to talk about. Now I know the journey. Let me make sure that this microphone is pointed at me. I know the journey, your musical journey has been fairly new. So you've only had been singing and playing the guitar for 6 years. But have you noticed your music evolving from when you first started to where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I've found kind of my niche a little bit and what my baseline is in writing a song. I would say that I think most of the time now I really like to explore the opportunity to go through those kind of slow, quiet moments and then those big kind of little bits of outbursts. Some songs have them more than others. And then I really like to include a full vocal range if I can. And yeah, I would say that it really comes down to writing about what you know and what you feel and what your truth is. And so I think that will always stay the same from my first song to my next song.
Yeah.
So.
And so let's fast forward 6 years from now.
Okay.
Where would you like to see yourself in your musical journey?
I would like to produce an album.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you guys hear differently a lot on this show because people are actively kind of pursuing and do some more gigs and already have music recorded. And for me, my one bucket list item is to record one album.
Okay.
And so that's my goal in the next 6 years, hopefully the next year, really.
Yeah.
I've had some people offer to work with me, but I'm not really sure. I want to find kind of the right fit and the right moment. And I actually, on my drive up here, decided what 9 songs I would like on an album, I think.
Oh, wow.
Well,
so
we'll have to hook you up or make at least the suggestion, hook you up with Roger. I don't know if you've...
Roger LaValle.
No
idea. Yeah. Oh, so he's over at Wachusett Recording Studio. Another plug.
Yeah.
and he's fantastic. So he helped us with recording our theme song with Route 2 Revolution for the show.
Yeah.
And he is a audio wizard. He's been a musician himself, part of bands, really ingrained in the music industry. So he really understands what works and what doesn't work. And he's like, you know, he tells you exactly good, advice, I guess you say, a constructive criticism that really just enhances the recording. So
another suggestion I can give to you is, do you know Ryan Calkins?
I do.
Oh, that's another one.
Talk to him because he just released some songs and he was at a recording studio down in Connecticut, I guess. But for him, it was really important of finding somebody that saw kind of the same vision and had the same vibe as
that
him.
That is so important. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you and him kind of almost have like that same kind of calming vibe though. So you might want to check with him too to see where he went. That could be an option as well.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think part of what has slowed me down is some part of me would like to do it solo and then the other part of me would love to have a band kind of fill in all that space. And I know either finding artists that are willing to commit to that or paying someone, which is a very expensive route, without sacrificing the vision and the integrity of the song, is difficult, especially with how busy my life is. It's hard for me to commit to like getting together on a weekly basis or something. And actually might have that happening. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Manifest that.
I know.
That's
right. I'm recording an album in the next 6 years with a full band. That's what I'm manifesting.
There you go. There you go. And it will happen. You know, it's funny. We say that with a laugh, but we've had guests on the show before that were like, I'm going to do a European tour to Iceland. Or whatever.
Seth Newton.
Yeah. And then sure enough, that's exactly what he does.
Yeah.
You know, so it's yeah.
We asked him the question, what's your dream venue? And he mentioned this place in Iceland. And then fast forward a few months later, he's going there. To Iceland. He's going there on vacation, you know, and then he's sang some karaoke while he was there, which then sparked I am a musician. And then he played like a show here and there. And then next thing you know, other places are booking him. And then somebody from like Ireland that owns a bar overheard and was like, will you come play in my bar? And
Dublin.
It's turned into a whole impromptu European tour.
Wow. So yeah. I'll plug my dream European tour, which would definitely be in Scotland. So if anybody in Scotland wants to have me play at one of their bars, let me know.
There we go.
Have we reached Scotland yet?
I don't think so.
We haven't seen that little map in a while.
No, I know. I got to take a look at it again. But I don't think so. But we need to.
Yeah. You need to revisit that.
As soon as Ryan gets out there and performs, then we'll start having listeners.
Like, yes.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Well, so let's go ahead and dive into one last song before we say goodbye.
Sure. So I want to give a little context to this one. It's not a part of the same relationship journey. Okay. It's one of my newer songs as well, and it's pretty dramatic. There is an Easter egg lyric line I took as inspiration from another artist. If you can guess what it is, you get extra 20 points.
Ooh, I like that. It's on.
you get a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Stolen from your own jar. But it, you know, it has to do with like life and like loss and the battle of mental health and the battle of addiction and all of these full range of just strong dramatic emotions. It's called The Hourglass. They tell me, darling, don't live too fast, staring straight down those tracks. No way forward, no way back. I wonder if I am the only one. Living like this makes me crazy, like I'm always on the run. Living like this makes me crazy. I wonder if I am the only one. What's the way of all this madness? What's the cost of living for? I've always been wrong. Sometimes they look like they might know. What if I told you that ain't so? Don't you ever forget, you reap what you sow. I wonder if I am the only one. Full of bourbon and blood on the dash. A loaded gun, don't erase the past. I can't possibly be the only one. What's the weight of all this madness? What's the
Wow.
Oh my God.
I love
thank
that.
You, thank you.
And I love it because to circle back to some of the things you talked about, like you kind of broke the rules, I think, on that one. Like the tempo change, it was like
that. The end,
yeah.
I love the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's,
and you get awesome. That rasp in your voice going. Yeah.
Thanks,
yes.
Yeah. Thanks. I intentionally a lot of things I do with my songs are very, very intentional. And the end of that song, I land on the "Shake Me," and I don't finish the line intentionally. It's to kind of leave you with a little bit of angst.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I love that rasp though, and as Chris has heard before, I'm like, why do I not hear me right now? As Chris has heard before, like when I sing, I always usually have like a lot of rasp in my voice too. Yeah. So I was really digging that.
Thank you.
Yes. That's awesome. Well, this has been such a blast.
Wait, what's the Easter egg?
I'm glad you went back.
How do we give you viewers the opportunity to guess the Easter egg? So this is your chance if you're a viewer. Write it in the comment before we hear the answer.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so the line is "Jockey full of bourbon and blood on the dash," which is sort of from a Tom Waits song, which goes "Jockey full of bourbon and a fist full of cash."
Okay. I know. I'm like, okay, how do I edit this so that I can make it so that the reveal happens on a separate little video?
It's okay. Okay if it doesn't. But I actually really like Tom Waits. So it was a nice little nod to Tom Waits. And I will say that one of my also bucket list items is to sing a song through a megaphone.
Oh,
yes.
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 Yeah, we've had the pleasure of seeing that from a musician at a live show.
Yes.
Oh, it was unexpected.
He's actually coming on in a few weeks.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Chris and I judged a rap battle. And this guy, I saw him sitting at the bar all night and I was just thinking he was a spectator. And then all of a sudden, like, they called him up and his energy and his presence and just such clean delivery at this rap battle. And then next thing you know, he literally just whips out a microphone. Microphone and like, or megaphone. Like, definitely.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do the thing.
I just got to find the right song.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I love your journey with your exploration of the lyrics and your vocal range and the guitar. And I think, you know, again, 6 years from now.
Could have fooled me that it's only been 6 years.
I know, seriously. It's exactly. But I think 6 years from now, you're going to be really just well beyond your, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? See, now I'm having a brain fart.
We can cut that if you want.
Let's cut that. But no, but I think you're going to exceed your expectations. That's the word I was looking for, expectations.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's that creativity and the fact that you're not bound by the rules of, or the so-called rules of music. Like you've knocked those walls down. And the fact, the fact that you've done it and you've come this far is just, 6 years?
The world's your oyster here. Yeah. 100%.
That's a really nice compliment.
Yeah, thanks. But thank you for coming on the show. And thank you, Nikki, for bailing me out when my brain goes numb. And guys, one before we, you know, go on the sign off, if people wanted to follow your musical journey, is there a place you would like to have them go to?
Yeah, so my Instagram is ghost.in.glasses. It's a song that I didn't get to play called Ghosts in Glasses. So I use that as my like Instagram handle. But then it gives you an opportunity to come hear some more music from me if you're interested in knowing about that song.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of that rasp stuff that you were talking about. You can also add me on Facebook. I usually use that for a lot of like musician connection, and I post about my open mic on there. Hopefully
where can people find your local mic, your open mic?
Oh, sure. Sorry.
Yeah.
open mic first Friday of the month.
Yeah.
We'll see you there, hopefully.
Okay. Yeah. And that's
In Worcester, right?
Yes.
Worcester.
Birch Tree Bread Company in Worcester. They are lovely people and they make their own bread. There is food. There's food. There are cocktails and lots of coffee and pastries, and they make all their pastries and their bread from scratch. Ooh.
So not only are they making a lot of money, but they're making their own dough. There we go.
So little plug for Birch Tree. Yeah. Little plug for me. The next one's on March 7th, which I know this will air after that. So hopefully we'll see you in, what's after April?
May. Yes.
Yes, we'll see you in May.
All right. Awesome. So. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And guys, thank you for tuning in on this episode. We absolutely appreciate your support. You know, the more support that you give us, it gives more support to our beautiful musicians who come on the show. So, guys, thank you so much. And if you aren't already subscribed, Nikki, tell them where to go.
So you can find us on YouTube. We are also on Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora. Just learned that Pandora does podcasts, so you can find us there as well. Also, be sure to be following us on Instagram and on Facebook as well.
Yes, thank you. So, without further ado, it's done, guys. So, thank you. Woo.
We out.
Bye.
Bye.
The Musical Chairs of Massachusetts has been handcrafted for your listening pleasure. Hosted by Chris Guerra. Co-hosted and produced by Nikki Cross. Audio engineering and talent booking by Nikki. Audio, video engineering and graphic designs by Chris. Theme song written and recorded by Route 2 Revolution. This has been a CG Broadcasting production.